Whenever you read Genesis chapter number 1, there are a lot of things that are in there from the beginning. God was speaking things into existence. We get an understanding that the only thing that was in the beginning was God. God was in the beginning. It says in the beginning was God. In the beginning was God. That's what Genesis tells us. And then God begins to speak things into existence. But before he does, he tells us that the earth was without form. It was without void. There was total darkness. But there was a spirit that was hovering, who is the Holy Spirit. And out of that hovering spirit, God spoke things and things began to take shape. So we understand that there is power in the word of God. There is power in what God does. But it is also opening us to an understanding that this is the mind of God that is now finding expression through his creation. Because the Bible says when God said, let there be, it makes the assumption that you know that God was thinking about it before he said it. Because you cannot say something before you think about it. God says you have to count the cost. So he thinks about it. When he thinks about it, God says it. So we are getting to see a process. I want to talk about the process that God has towards man. I'm just going to go run through a few things. Verse number 26, we are given a glimpse of God's mind. He said, now let us make man in our own image, that let us know that you and I were in the mind of God before we were formed. Says, now let us make man. You and I were in the mind of God before we were formed. And when God said, let us make man, which means he has given us a name. He has called us what? Man. He says, now let us not make anything, but let us make what? Man. It means he has given us a what? He has given us a name. When God gives you a name, when God calls you, it's not just giving you a name for the sake of identity. God is giving you a name, endowing you with purpose. So when God says, let us make what? Man. By just calling him man, he is giving him a name, number one, and he's endowing him with process, with purpose. Which means you and I are not here just for the sake of being here. We have a specific reason why we are here. We have a specific purpose why we are here. He says that in Genesis 1:26. Now, this is what God was thinking when he says, now let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. Verse number 27, God begins to create that which he was thinking. He says, Genesis 2:7, just to explain what was happening in 1:27. He says now, and God formed man of the dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This implies that you and I are forever connected to the earth, because out of the dust we were formed. That's why we're given dominion, not in the heavens, but we're given dominion what? In the earth, because we are from the dust. But then he says he breathed his breath into us. That means we are going to be forever connected with heaven. We are forever connected with God, because without the breath of God inside of us, we have no life. So the very essence of God is living in you. That's why you are breathing. It's basically when we say heaven touching earth, heaven came in the form of the breath of God and earth in the form of the man that God formed. And when those two came together, something living was formed. You and I. I'm going somewhere. When God has thought of an idea and God has formed what he was thinking, the next thing that God did is God spoke a blessing over man. This is the first blessing spoken of in the Bible. Genesis 1:28. This means now it is important, if it is the first thing that God did concerning man after giving him breath, the blessings of God are important. Somebody just say, God bless me. Because the blessings of God are important. The first thing is God thought about it, then God formed the man, then God breathed on the man, then the next very thing that God does is he speaks a blessing over man. We have to look at that blessing. God says now, be fruitful and multiply. He says, replenish the earth. This implies that you are going to have authority over the resources for you to be fruitful in the earth, to replenish it. He says, subdue it, have dominion. That means prevail over or prevail against the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. He says that. And he says now, I'm giving you dominion to do this. It means I am giving you authority. I am authorizing you to do this. I am authorizing you to replenish the earth. I'm authorizing you to subdue the earth, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein, everything in the earth belongs to God. But God is saying now, I am giving you authority. I am giving you the power of attorney. I'm making you what? An attorney. In fact, on my behalf, you are going to act. I'm giving you the legal authorization to exercise dominion and authority. So in that blessing, besides being given the instruction to be fruitful, besides being given the instruction to multiply, besides being given the instruction to subdue the earth, you are given the authority to do it. God cannot give you the authority if you don't have the power. There is a difference between the power, which is the ability to do, and authority, which is the legal authorization for you to do whatever you need to do. And you have to understand that the essence of power is not in saying I have power, but the essence of power is in what? The application of the power. But for you to apply the power, you have to have authorization. You need to have authority for you to apply the power over the thing that you want to move. So God says, I'm not only going to give you the power, I'm not only going to give you the commandment, but I'm going to give you the authority to do whatever you need to do in the earth. That's the blessing that God has spoken over you. But besides speaking the blessing over you, God made sure that he has to provide for man. Somebody say amen. God made sure he had to provide for man. So number one, I thought upon making you. I made you. I breathed into you. I have blessed you, but I must provide for you. What does God provide? There we are getting a revelation. We know that when Abraham went up the mountain to offer up Isaac, he said that in this mountain God shall provide. We got a revelation that God is what? Jehovah Jireh. But the seed of God being the provider was planted in Genesis chapter 1. Watch this. He says, Genesis 1:29. God tells man what he has given him. I've given you food to eat. Every herb bearing seed, every tree in which the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you shall be meat. God is saying, I'm not only going to make you, I'm not only going to give you the breath of life, I'm not only going to give you a blessing, but I'm going to provide for you what you're going to eat. He says, now besides providing for you in terms of food, I'm going to give you a place for you to live. How many of us know that God doesn't want us to be homeless? God's going to give you a place to live. He says in Genesis chapter number 2 verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put man. So God thought about it, made you, breathed into you, gave you a blessing, provided for you something to eat, and then he gives you a place to live. But he did not end there. And then God gives you something that most people don't really, really like, but it's important for you to have. Then God gave you a job. So he thought about you, made you, breathed into you, gave you a blessing, gave you something to eat, gave you a home, and then he gives you a job. Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it. So now you have a job, a place to live, and you have a job. But then God says, besides me giving you a place to live, giving you food to eat, and giving you a job, there are rules you must live by. So God begins to give you laws. He says this now, and God commanded that of every tree man may freely eat. Genesis 2 verse number 16. Says every tree, you may eat of every tree, but the tree of what? The truth, you cannot eat of them, because they are commandments. So that means now, in terms of living in a perfect world set by God, you're going to have a place to live, you're going to have a place to work, you're going to have something to eat, but you are not going to live in the way you want to live, you're going to live according to the rules and regulations set by God. How many of us know that without rules there is disorder? Without law there is disorder. So God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of what? A God of order. So he gives you laws to live by. Watch this. That means now, in that particular respect of God giving you law, God becomes a lawgiver. God gives you laws to live by. Next thing that, besides giving you a place to live, besides giving you a job, besides giving you the laws, God gives you an assignment. So you did not come to earth just for the sake of coming to earth. You have a specific assignment. Genesis 2:5 says, "And there was no man to till the ground. And the Lord put him into the garden to dress it and keep it. God brought every beast and fowl of the air to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." That was his assignment. And to tell you the truth, even to this very day, we are still operating in that function of Adam. We are discovering things, giving them names, atoms, subatoms. We are still discovering them, giving names. They are still coming before us, being brought before us. And we are keeping on giving them names over and over and over and over. We are still functioning in our assignment. Even if we don't acknowledge that there is a God, we are still functioning in the assignment we're given in the beginning. All right, that's fine. Watch this now. When God did all these things, the assignment that God gives you, he says, "Now, Adam, what are you going to call this?" And Adam said, "I'm going to call you lion." "Yeah, you're going to be a tiger. You know, yeah, I don't like you. You know, you're going to be a baboon. You know, I don't like you. You're going to be a monkey," because of the way that is. But you have to understand that God has given him more responsibility than just giving them a name. Because whenever you call something by a name in the Hebrew definition, you have to give something or endow it with purpose. So when Adam is giving them a name, he is looking at the purpose that they were given. And then he gives a name that equates to what? To the purpose. Not just because you want to be called Perkins, but there is a purpose that is wrapped up in that name. You have to find out, what does your name mean? Why do they call you that? Because there is a purpose in the name. But whenever you are being given a name for a purpose, or being given an assignment carries with itself a responsibility. You cannot be irresponsible in the kingdom of God. You have to have a responsibility. Oh, I don't even want to go there, let me, because I might just get into trouble. But God says, besides you giving, I'm going to parade them before you, you're going to give them a name, but I'm giving you the assignment to take dominion over these things. You have to dominate these things. You have to take charge over these things. You have to rule over these things. You have to subjugate these things to your authority. You have to bring them under your dominion. You have to bring them under your feet. So it's not about just naming them. How do you bring them under dominion? You have to understand how they operate. You have to know how they function. You have to know how they work. It's not about just shouting in church that we're going to take dominion over the financial world. We have to know how the financial world works. That's what God is asking. How can you take dominion over a horse when you don't know how it functions? You have to understand how things work. That is why it is important in our generation for us to go to school. Don't just go to school for you to grow old and pass the days. You have to go and learn something in school. You have to go and learn how things operate. How can God make you ruler over money when you don't understand how money operates? How can God give you charge over religious systems when you don't know how they function, when you don't know how they operate? You have to know how those things work. It means you have to go to school. If your assignment is for you to be a preacher, go to Bible school. Learn something. Put something in your head. If you are supposed to be a teacher, don't be a teacher who just reads from the textbook. Put some knowledge in your head, because you have a responsibility to train up a whole generation, to bring them into a place of dominion, authority, and power. They have to understand things. Hope everybody's getting me. My passion is, we cannot just be ignorant, shouty people. I've got no problems with us shouting in church, but we have to shout with some sense. We have to shout with some sense, because God is asking for us to have dominion, authority, and power. But for you to be able to subjugate things, to bring them under dominion, I said you need to have an understanding of how they operate. But before I tell you how to get an understanding of how things operate, I have to give you the requirements of dominion. What does dominion require? Now it's going to get better now. It's going to get better now. Whenever you are talking about dominion, authority, and power, there are several things that have to get into your mind. Number one, you have to know. Number one, you have to understand. Number two, you have to acknowledge. Number three, that God is God. Period.
Are we together?
It's not Buddha, it's not whoever. You have to understand, number one, that God is God. That's the first requirement of dominion. You have to understand that God is God. In what capacity? You have to understand that God is the creator. Genesis 1. God is the creator. You have to understand that God is the giver of life. He is the one who breathed into you. You have to understand He is the giver of life. You have to understand that He is the giver of purpose. That you are not here just by accident, but there is a specific purpose that is assigned to you. Then you have to understand that God is a blesser of man. I'm just reading Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28, 29. You have to understand that God is a blesser. Then you have to understand that God is a provider. That God is your source. Everything else in the earth is just a resource. That God is your provider. You have to understand that if you are going to get into a place of dominion, authority, and power, then you have to understand that God is a law giver and the laws of God are perfect. You have to understand that, because if you violate the laws of God, you're operating in imperfection. It may sound great, but it's still imperfection. Oh, all right, I don't want to go there. You can have a cashmere sweater with a hole right there. It might look good, but it's imperfect because of whatever it has. Okay, I don't want to go there. Let me just go deeper. Now, besides God being a lawgiver, you have to understand that God is a giver of authority and dominion. You have to understand that. But after you have understood that God is all these things, you have to realize that you need wisdom to have dominion. Ignorant people can think they have dominion, but they don't have. All right, that's fine. Besides wisdom, you have to have an understanding, as I said already. How do things work? You have to have that understanding. Number four, the next point anyway. You have an understanding of power. Okay. There's a 25-ton truck sitting outside. You are a Christian. You believe, but God is all that. And He has given you the power to move that truck. But the problem is you are like Pee-wee Herman. You can go and prophesy over it. You can go and shout hallelujah 10 times. Go around it like 7 times, like the walls of Jericho. It will not move. And you can say, I'm going to exercise power now. I'm going to push this thing. It won't move. Because you have to understand the authorization, the function of power. Power is the ability to do. But authority is the legal permission to do whatever you need to do. Now, watch this. What does it mean to have dominion? As I've already said, it's not about shouting. Having dominion means you are able to exercise authority. You are able to apply the power. You are able to use wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You are supposed to use the laws of God, not to violate the laws of God, but to use them. Because if you use them according to how God prescribed, you are going to benefit. Listen, no matter how hard you try to break gravity, you have to work with gravity. You cannot break it. But you can flow with gravity and apply a different law for you to violate what gravity does. So gravity works on your behalf. We're going to go there. We're going to go there. So now, God says, bring the earth into subjection under your control to conform it to your designs. Make this thing subject to you. But when God is giving you these requirements, God gives you the resources for you to be able to do it. You see? Watch this. You are gifted. You are anointed. You are called. You have an assignment. You have a purpose. You have a reason to be here. So why do you think you are anointed? Why do you think you are gifted? For you to look pretty? To have a name? You are given those things because they are the resources you are going to require to exercise dominion. Watch this. Everybody here who's anointed, lift up your hand. Anybody who's anointed, lift up your hand. Lift up. If you are anointed, if you believe you are anointed, hallelujah, everybody in here is anointed. But watch this. The Bible says, by the reason of the anointing, the yoke is destroyed. So there is a yoke that must be engaged by your anointing to be broken. That's the reason why you are anointed. That's the purpose you are called. David, there's a Goliath who must be killed, so we're going to anoint you to be king before you meet him. Saul, there are some Philistines that must be dealt with, so we're going to anoint you king. So he says, there are some giants that must fall in Houston, and I anoint you, and I send you into Houston. So there is a purpose. You're supposed to be using those resources to bring dominion, authority, and power. Not for you to have a name, but so that the name of the Most High God may be exalted. Now watch this. I'm just giving you a picture of the perfect world, what God created. But in Genesis 3, men violated what God had done. Rebelled against God. Didn't go and exercise dominion over the things they were given. They went and ate the tree to violate the laws and the commandments of God. And what did God do? He kicked them out. If you violate your mother's house, if they got grace, they'll keep you. But chances are they're going to kick you out. Am I lying? Yeah. So if I were you, if I want to stay under their house, just follow their laws. Even if you don't agree, just follow them. Don't violate that, otherwise you're going to be kicked out. Unless you got your own money, you can go buy, you can go get your own house. Adam and Eve sinned against God. They ate of the tree. And then they went hiding. And then they heard the voice of the head God walking. And he says, Adam, where are you? Says, God, I saw that I was naked and I hid myself. And God says, who told you you were naked? Who told you? All along you were naked. But now you realize, oops. But listen what they did. After violating the laws that God established, they went and made themselves fig aprons. That's what the New King James Version says. Fig leaves to cover themselves. Aprons to cover themselves. Yet covering themselves with the very same thing, Adam confessed, I was naked, so I hid myself. But how can you say you are naked when you have covered yourself with fig leaves? But God is showing up, you say you're what? You are naked. That tells me that even though we think we are covered, we can do human systems to think we are covered, yet we are still uncovered. We can create our own system to take dominion, authority, and power, but they cannot be compared to what God has established. They will still be inadequate. So you can see places where people have amassed different systems of authority and power, where they are ruling and they are reigning, yet God is still saying you are naked. Because what you have covered yourself with has not been divine, designed by God, but has been designed by the works of your hands. Watch this. Some of the systems that we use to provide covering for ourselves, you know, Mary Kay, Sister Mary Kay, the foundation, the makeup, we want to cover our imperfections and we think we are covered. You know, the plastic surgery, you know, we go tweak a little bit here, tweak a little bit here. We're trying to cover our imperfections. We're trying to cover our nakedness. And we even go to a point whereby we begin to redefine things. We call that which was good, we call it evil. That which was evil, we call it good, because we are trying to get ourselves into a place where we feel we are covered. But God is still saying what? You are uncovered. Sometimes we go through a place where we are hiring public relations firms, hiring people to go and put a spin on things, our situations, so we may come out looking good on the other side. But convincing people that you are good does not mean you have convinced God. So watch this now. When they sinned against God, they saw their nakedness, God kicked them out. But when God kicked them out, he just did not lose a home. He did not lose just the place where he was. He did not lose his job. He lost a whole bunch. But before I talk to you about what he lost, let me tell you what he did not lose. Can I do that? All right. Number one, he did not lose his ability to shout. You are kicked out, but you can still what? Hallelujah! You can still shout. He did not lose his ability to sing. He could still sing if he could sing. He did not lose his ability to dance. He could still dance. Hallelujah. I'm glad he could still dance. Hallelujah. I'm still trying to find that gift. Hallelujah. But besides these things that I've mentioned are the things that we do in church. We shout. We sing. We dance. We run. We clap. We do all that. Those things Adam did not lose. But the thing that he lost was that Adam lost dominion over the earth. Adam lost dominion over the earth. Not only dominion over the earth, but he lost dominion over the systems that govern the earth. Luke chapter 4, verse number 5, when the devil was tempting Jesus, he took him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give them to whosoever I please. So Adam did not just lose a place of dwelling. He lost a whole bunch. He lost authority to do the thing that God had told him to do. And he gave that authority to Lucifer, Satan, to do whatever he needs to do. Now watch this. Not only did he lose the dominion, not only did he lose authority, but he lost his relationship with God. The Apostle Paul says we were once alien with God, which means by the sin of Adam, we were made foreign, we were made alien to God. We have our relationship with God was fractured. But God said, I want to bring you into a place of restoration, because it's important, restoration. But God is not restoring you for you to be a perfect saint. God is restoring you to a place where you can have total authority and dominion in the earth. According to what was in Genesis chapter number 1, when he said, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. So everything you are going through is working towards your perfection. It's working towards to a place where you can be restored to what you were once before. That's why the second Adam, who is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, came on the earth to restore you back to what you originally were with God. You were walking with God in the cool of the day, in the cool of the night. You were walking with God. You were in perfect union with God. You were in relationship with God. So God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to bring you back into relationship with Him. Not so that you can just shout that I am with God, but that you can become the expression of the kingdom of heaven on the earth. You have been called by God to get into a place where you can exercise dominion authority in the earth so that you can bring an expression of what heaven is like. Let heaven come to earth. Let it be on earth as it is what? As it is in heaven. You have been chosen by God to be the agent that is going to be used to bring a conformity of the earth to what heaven has mandated. But God knows it will not take your own hands. It will not take your own works. So God puts you through a process where He's going to bring you to a place of restoration. Remember the day when you walked the church and you didn't even know who you were, and they preached a simple word. When you were back in the world, you thought it was a simple word, but on that day the Holy Ghost had your number. When that word was spoken, your heart was pierced. You came running to the altar. It was God beginning the work of restoration, restoring you back to what it used to be. So God takes you through a place where He's sanctifying you. The process of sanctification, sanctifying you, making you holy, setting you apart, making sure you are separate from the world. Though you are in the world, you are not of the world. You are supposed to be an ambassador of the kingdom of God. So He sets you apart, not so that you can say, I am holy. He sets you apart because He's about to begin a work in you to bring you back to where you used to be. Then God put you through a process of justification. You are justified just as if you have not sinned, in right standing with God. That's where you are coming in, but not by yourself, not by the works of hands, not by the blood of goats or bullocks, but by the blood of His only begotten Son, the one who had no sin, that was presented on the altar before the throne room of heaven, so that you and I can be justified. If we come covered in the blood of Jesus, we are getting into a place where God says, just as if you have not sinned, just as if you have not sinned. Remember, it was sin that caused the partition between us and God. And God is saying, I don't want that partition to be there anymore. I'm going to bring about the blood of Jesus to come and bring you into a place where you are justified. But you have to get into a place, as it were, where you put the blood of Jesus on the doorpost of your house when they're getting the night of what? The night of Passover. You have to get to a place where you are appropriate the blood of Jesus to say, God, cover me in the blood. I bring myself to subjection of authority of the blood of Jesus. Why? So you want to be reconciled back with God. Aren't you sick and tired of living your life in a place where you are able to make it, or you are barely just getting by, but God says there is so much more I have given you. There is so much more that I intend for you to do. There is purpose in you. There is an assignment in you. You are a child chosen for dominion. You are a child chosen for authority. And God is saying, if you can just come back to me, I will restore you to what you used to be. Not only does God sanctify you, not only does he justify you, God takes you through a process where he says, I will not let you suffer the things you were supposed to suffer because of my anger. We call it substitution. Substitution. How many of us have ever watched The Passion of the Christ? Mel Gibson movie. Remember when they had him tied on a pole and they are whipping his back with that whip there. Every one of them pulling the skin off his back. Do you know that was supposed to be you and I? That was supposed to be you and I. But God knew you and I could not handle it. So he sent a substitution to be in your stead. Why? Because God desires so much to bring you into a place where you used to be. But we must deal with the anger that God has. But you cannot take it. Do you know when they were putting the crown of thorns on his head? It was supposed to be you and I. It was supposed to be you and I. Do you know when they were putting those nails in the side of his hands? That was supposed to be you and I being hung on the cross. But God says, no, I want to restore you back to where you used to be. So I'm going to send a substitute to die in your stead. You and I were supposed to die. The Bible says the wages of sin are what? Death. You and I were supposed to die. And when we die, there is no resurrection. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. It says that same power that rose him from the dead is the same power that now dwells in you. So you have authority, you have power because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. So now it's very simple. God in the beginning gave you authority. He gave you dominion. He gave you all these different things. You lost all those things. And God is saying, I want to restore those things back to you. But the only way of restoration is not in your shouting. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. It's not in your singing. It's not in your dancing. The only way to restoration is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way to the Father but what? Jesus Christ. Only him. Nobody else. I don't care how wonderful their name sounds. There is no other name under heaven or earth that men can be saved but the name of what? The name of Jesus. There is no other way unto the Father except through what? Jesus Christ. Watch this. When God sanctifies, he justifies. When God justifies, he's going to bring into a place, we say, substitution. But watch this now. When God has done all these things, taking you through all this place, he has a specific reason why he is doing it. Can I just tell you something? Revelation moment right here. Your gift is not needed in heaven. Your anointing is not needed in heaven. Oh, all right. It's very simple. How many of us know that Elijah was taken by a chariot to heaven? Right? He was. But do you know that he could not take his mantle to heaven? Because it's not needed there. It's required for what? He ain't here. He says the fivefold ministry, the gifts are for the perfection of what? Perfecting of the saints. Not in heaven, but the ones that are here on earth. That means your gift must find function and purpose here in the earth. You are called not to heaven, you are called here on earth. Your calling, your prayer is not just to bring heaven down to earth. Your prayer is to bring conformity in the earth to what heaven has. So God is saying, I gave you a gift. I gave you a calling. I anointed you. Because there's a specific purpose upon your life. And God wants to restore you back to that place where you used to be. Now watch, let me give you an example of where the place used to be. When Jesus rocked up on the scene, he showed, can I speak some slang? My wife will kill me, but I gotta say it. He rocked up on the scene. He went to a fig tree, and the fig tree had no figs. The Bible says it wasn't the season for the figs. But he showed up. Look at the leaves. He's looking for what? He's looking for some figs. And there were no figs. And he spoke to the tree. He cursed the tree. And just a day after, the tree was dry. No life. But the tree was out of season. Watch this. Because in the book of Genesis, there was no seed time and harvest. You could just show up on a tree. Fruits were there. Everything was continually reproducing. But when Adam sinned against God, God cursed the earth. so that it resists man. It's going to bring thistles and thorns to resist man. He says you are going to eat bread from the sweat of your brow. You have to work for everything. But when you were in the Garden of Eden, there was no work. All you were doing was to dress it up, make it look good. You, whenever, every tree you get into, there's fruit. There's seed. There's something for you to eat. When the second Adam came in, he is saying, I'm going back to what it used to be in Eden. I'm going back to a place where no matter what season it is, you are supposed to get into a place where there is fruit on the tree. When you need an apple, it doesn't matter whether it's not an apple season. There has to be one because it's the second Adam who's showing up. But means now, because now you are being called to come into the second Adam, you have the ability to command resources into your life. Because your assignment requires them. Your assignment requires them. Your assignment requires that you are not homeless. It requires that you are not jobless. You have to have a job. You have to have a home. Because that was God's original intent for your life. But you have to get into a place where you appropriate those things. Apply those things to your life. How do you apply these things to your life? Hallelujah. I'm glad you asked because I'm about to finish. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. I do. We can go the whole thing, but I'm going to do number 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, the blessing that God wants to bestow upon you, it's going to come. It's going to overtake you. It's going to run you over. No matter how much you're trying to run away from the blessing, because God is blessing you, God will bless you. Whatsoever God blesses is what? It's blessed indeed. But only if you walk in obedience to the commandments that God has set upon your life. Restoration of dominion. You cannot say, I am saved, covered by the blood, confess Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, yet you are still living according to somebody else's laws, not living according to God's laws. If you bring yourself into alignment with God, God will bless you. God will bless you. God will bless you. I had him doing the offering. Hallelujah. Thank God. Bring your tithe to the storehouse and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven. There is a blessing attached to your obedience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't even have to work for it. All you do is just obey. Just obey. Oh my God. I think that's one of the hardest four-letter words, right? Just obey. O-B-E-Y. Obey. 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 I said already, if you disobey your parents, they kick you out. If you obey God, God will bless you. Because God says, if you obey me, it means you are honoring me. Is it about just saying, I honor you, God? He says they pay me lip service. But God says, your very lifestyle, the way you live, how you handle yourself, how you carry yourself, must be honoring to God. And when God sees that, the Bible says, God, his eyes are going to and fro in the earth, looking for those whose hearts are loyal to him, so that he might show himself mighty on their behalf. I want to say this and I'll close. You have to understand that God wants to restore you to your original place with authority, dominion, and power. You have to understand that. And God is doing whatsoever is necessary to bring you into that place. But you have something that you have to do to get into that place. And all you have to do, like on that day, he said, Moses, get them to kill a lamb and make sure that they put blood on the doorposts, because wherever there is blood, there is going to be a Passover. But for us, it's not just Passover. In the book of Joshua, in the fifth chapter, they crossed over the River Jordan and they came to a place called Gilgal. In Gilgal, they were in the land of promise, but God said, I'm going to circumcise your heart. I'm going to circumcise you. God is about to circumcise your heart because you are about to receive your inheritance. God is about to circumcise your hearts because you are about to receive your inheritance. But for you to receive your inheritance, you must connect with the covenant that God has made. God has made a covenant with our forefather Abraham. But in blessing, I will bless you. And when I bless you, you're going to be a blessing to others. God said, I will make you the head and not what? The tail. I'm going to set you above and not what? Not beneath. Because God has chosen you to be a blessing to the nations. God has chosen you to be a blessing to the nations. But God is saying, that's your inheritance, but come to a place where I can circumcise your heart. Where I can circumcise your heart. And it's very simple. If you don't know Jesus Christ, this will be a good time to invite him in. This will be a good time to invite him in. And I know that I've preached something different today. I didn't preach, actually. I tried to teach. There's a reason why I do that. Because I say sometimes we jump and we shout. But we forget that everything that we do must be built on the firm foundations of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. I encourage all the young people that are in here. I heard that there are some that are coming from the youth that are young adults now. I encourage you that you fall in love with the Word of God. That you fall in love with the Word of God. And this Word is your identity. And this Word is your purpose. And this Word is your destiny. And this Word is the very essence of your life. In this Word. In this Word. Danielle Steele, good writer. Dan Brown, good writer. If you're looking for a thriller, pick up this book. There's nothing that compares to it. Right here. Right here. You're looking for a philosophy book. Who is Plato? Think about the Holy Spirit. There's so much in here. So much in here. So much in here. In this book, you fall in love with this book right here. And this won't just be a story to make you feel better. But this is the story that's going to bring you life. John 10:10 says, the enemy comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you may have what? Life, not just life, because God does the exceeding. Life and life in abundance.